to go till signing day. But the fact that Jalen Wright is a big-time athlete, I don't know much about Walker, so you'll have to fill me in on him. But it sounds like a solid get from everything that I'm reading. But Jalen Wright has the ability to grow into a special player. I think you would label him as a project right now. But with speed like he is bringing to the table, that is definitely something that this coaching staff will be intrigued by and try to integrate into what they want to do.
Yeah, so Tennessee beats out a couple of SEC schools, keeping a guy in-state, and obviously Tennessee had valued him in Walker Merrill. So a wide receiver added to the 2021 class, and there was a long way to go with recruiting. I would say this for Tennessee, and I would say this for everybody, every school. Nobody's going to sign everybody who is committed right now. I mean, I really mean that. It's probably close to 0%. I think Bama has one commit, so I guess they'll probably sign that guy. But, I mean, it's just there's going to be a lot that changes between now and December. And this recruiting year is going to be different as well because you're not getting the same kind of traveling. And I don't think right now will be as much camp activity as expected. Like when I talked to Jalen Wright yesterday, I asked what plans he has over the next few months. And he said, I don't completely know because some of the travel plans and the camps that I planned to go to are either postponed or they're not happening or I don't know. So that's going to affect recruiting in some ways because evaluations are then affected, which complicates matters with offers. Recruiting in-state might be more important for Tennessee this year than it expected. I'm speculating there, but it just comes back to the unknown, and it's also an unknown in March. There's a long way to go between now and December and February, but no doubt recruiting, just like everything else, will be affected some way by the coronavirus stoppage and everything.
Yeah, and I know you only get 5 official visits in recruiting, but the amount of unofficial visits that players now go on while they're going through the recruiting process is just so much more than like when I was in college and leading up to when I went to college. And now these guys, they'll go to the same school multiple times on unofficial visits. So all of that is impacted. And it doesn't even look like visits can even start happening again now till maybe like the beginning of July or maybe right after the July 4th holiday. So everything is very up in the air. And that just adds to the coaches' worries. I mean, not only are they concerned with their players that are currently on the roster and what they're eating and what they're doing and how they're working out and studying the playbook, but they're worried about how they're going to put these recruiting classes together and be able to evaluate all of these players and do it in a timely manner. Because say the world reopens, this is just a hypothetical, by the beginning of July. Say we're all just boom, poof, back to normal, right? So everybody's going on visits. They're going to have to do some sort of reintegration period to get current players back in shape to get ready for fall camp. How do you fit recruiting into that? How do you fit evaluation periods into like a very small condensed 8 weeks where your team is also going to be practicing and working out? So there's just a lot that these football coaches, I mean, when people say we are swimming in uncharted waters, it is so true. And this is just another wrinkle to what these coaches are trying to plan for. And that's hard to do because you still don't have a finite timeline.
Yeah, so again, nobody knows, and recruiting is—it's not the biggest focus. I wouldn't say it's the most important thing, but it is a big deal for sure. And remember, here in the last couple of years, we have seen the schedule and the calendar change because of the early signing period. You can take spring official visits, which aren't going to be happening because of everything else. So it's just an unknown, but recruiting will still happen and communication is still there. Evaluations become very important in what you've been able to do, but that will be more challenging, I'd say, moving forward. So good news for Tennessee, a wide receiver that the coaching staff coveted, Walker Merrill from Brentwood, Tennessee, announced his commitment to Tennessee over Ole Miss and Vanderbilt just a few minutes ago. He did his announcement at Rivals.com. And also a Tennessee football note with a former player. We've talked here in the last couple of weeks about what would Daryl Taylor's status be, and obviously we don't know. We would project here over the next few weeks before the draft. But I saw this. Josh Norris of Roto-World put out his top 50 big board, and he has Daryl Taylor at number 47 overall. So number 47, top 50, that would be within a two-round range. I don't know that he's going to be a top two-round pick. But then Ben Finnell of the NFL Network, who covers the NFL draft, also has worked with The Athletic, He shared that and said he loves Daryl Taylor as a prospect and would rank him high as well. And added with his note, this is Ben Fennell of the NFL Network, that he could see both Daryl Taylor and Nigel Warrior ending up being good players in the NFL. So a nice note there on Daryl Taylor, former Tennessee football linebacker, now getting ready for the draft here in a few weeks.
I love the note on Nigel Warrior, too, that he shared, because I still am just disappointed that the NFL did not invite him to the combine. I thought that was a little bit of oversight on their part. But I'm looking forward to following what Nigel Warrior is going to do at the next level. If he does anything, I bought a lot of stock in that guy based on how he responded to some challenges early on this season and how he looked. And I think he's got a lot to offer. And the surprise and the fact that there are some guys that we didn't expect much playing big roles on teams in the NFL from Tennessee, I think you could see him blossom at the next level. I definitely wouldn't rule it out.
Yeah, so draft is just a few weeks away. By the way, assuming it happens at the scheduled date, and Roger Goodell's most recent memo to the NFL said, hey, it's happening, be ready, April 23rd. You want to talk about going overboard with NFL draft coverage? That is going to be the sports world. Now, that's the week after the Jordan documentary first comes out with the first part. I need to pull up the exact schedule of it. But, yeah, you're going to get a lot of Jordan and a lot of NFL draft that week. That's for sure.
We are going to make people be fans of professional sports in Knoxville. We are just going to bring it at you to where you finally submit Knoxville. And you're going to love the NBA. You're going to love the NFL just like we do. Josh, you've bled on, you know this. You've helped me like the NBA and appreciate the NBA more because you're so into it. So I was getting into it because you were. So it's like by osmosis. So that's what we're going to do for Knoxville.
I felt like it was my duty. I still do with you, with Knoxvillians, with society. So I feel like I've made some progress at least.
Do you know what would help your cause, especially in regards to the NBA? If you would honestly just put out the 15-second IG, one daily or one weekly, 90s basketball player rants, I mean, I will be here for it. Knoxville will be here for it.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Like, I love 90s NBA basketball. It's probably my favorite time. I'm growing up then. I'm just affected that, you know, I'm a kid of the 90s.
Yeah.
But it just has it's blown my mind, the revisionist history that has taken place, not only with basketball fans, but basketball players. I think that sport, more than any, the players of the 80s and 90s, for some reason, take today's players so personal. I would largely guess because of just the explosion in money and popularity. That would be my guess. But I mean, the top one has probably been Oscar Robertson saying that, you know, the way you stop Steph is you guard him full court. It's like, what are you talking about? No, that's not going to work. And that's the big O. I mean, he's a top 10 to 15 player of all time. James Worthy had an unexpected beef. Charles Barkley's comments that he's made on the game today, as much as I love Charles and I love his personality and just everything that he brings to the studio there on TNT, but saying, jump shooting teams can't win. We got to. All right. So anyway, there's my rant. Put that on the IG for today.
Exactly.
We'll come back. Check in on the news of the day at 1:30. You'll hear from Jalen Wright, the Tennessee running back commitment from yesterday. Again, Walker Merrill, the wide receiver from Brentwood, committed to Tennessee just a few minutes ago. Jalen Wright at 1:30, right here on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us on this Tuesday afternoon. Alongside Heather Harrington and Joel Silverberg, I'm Josh Ward. We're with you until 3, and that's when Sports Talk will take over. It is time to welcome to the show, joining us each day to keep you up to date on what's going on out there with COVID-19 and other news items, Bob Yarbrough from our sister station, News Talk 98.7 WOKI. Bob, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How do I get my name included in your show name? I think that would be pretty cool.
Well, you know what? I was going to ask, Bob, do you have any kind of musical requests? If you're stopping by the studio every day, you need your own walk-up music, just like Kane or anybody else at the WWE level.
I'm sure it'll be some kind of 80s version of Van Halen. I'll start working on that, okay?
All right.
Joel, take note there. A little Van Halen. We can make it happen.
Probably Van Halen or Van Hagar? Which one?
See, I'm one of those that can go either direction here. I can appreciate the David Lee Roth days. I can appreciate the Sammy Hagar days. How's that for riding the fence?
I like it. Hey, you just go with the flow.
I go with the flow. So, yeah, absolutely. Hey, guys, back in this afternoon, as we will be every afternoon, weekday afternoon, about this same time, the latest some bullet point notes for you regarding COVID-19 and how it's impacting our community. And the Knox County Health Department today with 63 confirmed cases of COVID-19 in Knox County. That's up from 57 reported cases yesterday. Still one death in the county from an individual considered at high risk from COVID-19. And 24 recovered cases, which means they have been released from isolation. A couple other things in the area. Knox County Mayor Glenn Jacobs is commending all the local utility districts for not shutting down services for non-payment because of COVID-19. The mayor and his office this week touched base with utility leaders to confirm their shutoff policies. And finally, something maybe a little bit on the light side, but something that maybe a lot of parents out there, Josh, maybe this might be right up your alley, and Heather, you too. Dolly Parton is going to be reading select children's books from her Imagination Library each Thursday evening, starting this week at 7 o'clock, and she's going to do this for at least the next 10 weeks. It's called Good Night with Dolly, and it's going to feature her reading books that have been specifically chosen for their content at this unique time. And if you want to find out more about Good Night with Dolly, or you just want to check it out Thursday night, each Thursday night beginning this week at 7 o'clock, these stories will be read by Dolly herself across all the social channels for the Imagination Library and all the websites associated with Dolly Parton as well.
Yeah, we have already made our plans. Josh was tweeting about it. We were actually talking about it off air. We asked each other if we had gotten the emails as we are signed up participants in the Imagination Library. And that is just the coolest thing. It is so neat to see what people in East Tennessee are doing. Shout out to Tim Burchett, who was giving out his cell phone number on Twitter yesterday, saying if people like just needed to talk to somebody, and we're feeling just depressed, to call him. I mean, this is Dolly stepping up. We've got our representatives stepping up. I just feel like there's a lot of positivity right now in the Knoxville area, and I'm so appreciative of you also highlighting the recoveries that have been made. I mean, our doctors are working super hard, nurses, to get people healthy, and I'm so glad you pointed that out, Bob.
Absolutely, and we do that and understand that we're kind of at the mercy of different departments, whether it's the state health department or the federal agencies or the local health departments. If they release those recovery numbers, we'll have them. If they don't do that, of course, there's no way we can report those recovery numbers. But thankfully, Knox County is one of the departments, the health department here, that does release recovered numbers. And as mentioned, out of 63 confirmed cases, 24 recovered cases here in Knox County, which means they've been released from isolation.
And Bob, you see that from Dolly. I mean, every day, whether we're talking locally, nationally, whatever the case, we are continuing to see people step up in different ways, whether it's financial relief, helping others, encouraging others. That's something that's really good to see as well.
Well, and you know, when this all came down and when it all started happening a few weeks back, all the COVID-19 stuff and all the self-distancing and the isolation and shutting down of businesses, you just knew that Dolly was going to do something, however grand it might be or however small it might be. But she always finds a way to step up for her community and make a difference. And this pandemic is worldwide, and what she's doing can be viewed worldwide. So, I mean, she always seems to find a way to make a positive difference. And this most recent example is not too surprising, to be honest.
And I think it was so cool. One of her books in the Imagination Library that we've gotten so far, it's called Lala Says, and it's about a child in Africa going to bed at night and reading Goodnight Moon, which is just a staple in most Americans.
One of my faves. Yeah, absolutely.
And so like for that book, that encompasses exactly what you just said. It's like for everybody, and you can tell it's just a huge passion of hers. I think it's super cool she's doing it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well. And even though my kids are way beyond Imagination Library age, which, by the way, we were on that gravy train back in the day, man. Those books in the mailbox.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was like a Christmas gift every so often, right? I'm going to be tuning in Thursday night at 7 o'clock just to see Dolly do what she does best, which is really get everybody in a good mood.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, in the spirit of Tim Burchett, I'd like to give out a phone number where you can reach Halloran Hill on the afternoons of News Talk 98.7. That'd be 865.
Let me dig that up. Let's do this.
That's right. You can find him this afternoon. You can find Bob providing updates and, of course, has his own show, 10 to noon, each day right there on our sister station, News Talk 98.7 WOKI. Bob, we appreciate the updates as always. Thank
you. Absolutely, guys. We'll talk to you again tomorrow afternoon at this same time.
Look forward to a little Van Halen maybe coming up tomorrow as well. So get ready to rock while we get the news from Bob Yarbrough right here on Sports 180. So just good spirits, good vibes. We're looking for those right now, Heather, and a lot of people thankfully are providing them.
Yep, and nobody's going to be talking about criticism of moral victories at this point in time. Bring on all the moral victories. Bring on all the silver linings. I'm here for it. We've got to accept the situation that we're all in right now. We're all, you know, nobody's feeling 100% about this. And again, I feel like we have dedicated our show to being a bright spot for people to kind of zone out and just have a good time. And we're going to continue to do that as long as we're here. And you know, we're going to help people get through this, and they're helping us get through it, because all the messages, I'll say thanks to the people. I've put a couple of things up on Instagram. I know you've been doing your dad jokes, and we've been getting great feedback on those. That helps us keep going, too. So all the positive messages have just been awesome.
Yeah, I've done the daily dad joke on my story in the story section of Instagram every day. Yep. I've gotten some nice feedback. I've had a few people share jokes that they want me to tell. I've had a few people tell me to stop doing it as well, and I will not. I even entered a dad joke contest today in support of Second Harvest Food Bank. So I posted that video on Twitter.
Yes.
And I think I should win, too. I scrolled through. I think I've got the best joke there.
I think you have the best joke and your delivery. I mean, it was full-on video.
That's what it's about.
Yeah, you're raising money for Second Harvest. All they have to do is click on that tag and see what an amazing organization that is. I think it's a slam dunk. You're a winner in my book, Josh. Me and your mom and Kelly, you're a winner.
I would say that's what really matters, but that's not what matters at all. I want to win that competition. So I think I'll be disappointed, actually, if I don't win. So go on there and like it. Maybe if I get more likes on the tweet, maybe that'll help me in the contest. We will come back when we return. 90 minutes of Sports 180 remain. You will hear from Tennessee running back commitment Jalen Wright. I think you'll really enjoy hearing his story about getting the offer from Tennessee, creating a connection with Tennessee's coaching staff, and then committing to the Vols. That's coming up next here on Sports 180 on FM 99.1, the sports animal. Back on Sports 180, thank you for being with us this afternoon. Alongside Heather Harrington and Joel Silverberg, I'm Josh Warden. You can always listen on the WNML app, on your smart speaker at home, online, 99.1thesportsanimal.com, and on demand, Apple Podcast, the podcast section of the app. We are everywhere. Hello to everybody out there streaming, whether you're listening live or maybe if you're listening in the future, right here on Sports 180. And yesterday, Tennessee picked up a commitment from running back Jalen Wright, the first of two commitments, actually, in the last 2 days for the 2021 class. Earlier in the hour, Tennessee received a commitment from wide receiver Walker Merrill. Yesterday afternoon, I had a chance to talk to Jalen Wright about his commitment to Tennessee and getting the offer from the Vols, his motivation to prove he belongs in the SEC. I think you'll enjoy this conversation with Tennessee running back Jalen Wright. First thing I'll ask you is just what led you to go ahead and pull the trigger on a commitment to Tennessee?
Me and my dad and my mom, we really discussed a lot, and due to the coronavirus and all the things going on around me, we felt like that it was the best decision to go ahead and go to Tennessee. Tennessee was the first school on my list anyway, so I really didn't want to miss on spots. And I know Tennessee was taking two running backs out of 2021, and I wanted to secure my spot. And the fact that Tennessee really showed me and told me that I am their top recruit out of all people just made me feel like I should just go ahead and take the opportunity. So it made me feel like Tennessee is the right place to be.
From Tennessee side, what was the message from Tennessee's coaches of why they wanted you so badly and why they valued you as a running back so much?
They valued me, and they saw that I have a lot of potential. They saw that I have a lot of speed, power. I have good size. Coach Graham even said that, knowing that Coach Graham coached Dalvin Cook, he said that he sees a lot of Dalvin Cook in me. He sees that I can be better than him. So, well, not better than, but at least, like compete at that level. And, like, yeah, he said I could be better than Dalvin Cook. So, that just showed me a lot that Coach Grammarly leaves a lot in me and sees a lot of talent in me.
Yeah, and you talk about Jay Graham. He's a guy that's from North Carolina, which you know, and he's coached some really good running backs like Dalvin, and he's coached at Tennessee, played at Tennessee. How influential was Jay Graham, the opportunity to be coached by him as a running back?
The fact that he's from where I'm from, that means a lot. It makes me feel good because he's from my city and knows where I grow up from, and it's just a connection, and the vibe with him is there.
You know, Jalen, you talk about when you left Knoxville with your trip, Knoxville was at the top of your list. Aside from Jay Graham, with him being a part of it, what else stood out about Tennessee and the visit to put Tennessee at the top of your list as well?
Just like the fan base, the way Tennessee looked, the way they operated, the love they shown. I mean, of course, that's what every college is supposed to do when they have recruits, but it's just like Tennessee, they show a different type of feeling.
Talking to running back Jalen Wright, and you mentioned the coronavirus and just what's going on. What is it like right now? Because recruiting has, you know, kind of come to a halt, but training, I'm sure, is affected. What's it been like for you to go through this suspension of everything right now?
I mean, it's kind of wild because it really canceled the other visits with my colleges, but that's okay. But still, I train every day. I lift every day. Well, I lift every other day, but I train on the field about every day. And so, you know, all I do is eat, sleep, and train. So I'm just trying to get back ready for whenever they let us back on football season.
Yeah, I know you're planning to run track as well as play football at Tennessee. What do you run in track?
I run the 100 to 10 to 200.
Do you know what the top times you've run are?
The top time I ran, that was last year. I ran a 10.6 in 100, but I ran 10.7 in 100, but I tore my hamstring in the middle of the race, and that was the last time I really got to run 100. This year I wanted to open up in 100 with at least like a 10.2. I wanted to get down to like a 10.1.
Do you have any sense of how running track makes you a better football player?
It makes me more explosive and just fast on the field. I noticed that a lot of college coaches like football players that run track.
Yeah, yeah. If you can, kind of just describe your game. I mean, I think you hit on it a moment ago, but how would you describe your game and maybe your style of running the football?
Powerful, patient, fast. I catch the ball. I can be an all-around back.
The idea of catching the football out of the backfield, how much did you talk about that with Jim Chaney? And just in general, how important do you think that is for running backs now to be effective as not only a runner but as a receiver?
I feel like it's really important because Coach Chaney, he even said he wanted to see me. He wanted me to send him some videos when I was training of catching the football. And so I sent him some. He was like, oh, yeah, that's excellent. It's awesome. He want me there. So I'm just ready to be there.
Yeah, talking to running back commitment, Jalen Wright committing to Tennessee. What was the reaction, by the way, when you called to commit to Tennessee? What was the reaction from the coaches?
They was very excited. Coach Graham, he was very excited. He was like, that really just made his day, and that's really all he needed. And he was just so excited that he ready for me to be on board. He's so excited to coach me, and he's just excited. Coach Chaney's excited as well. I talked to Coach Pruitt today. He's very excited.
Your dad went with you on your visit to Tennessee. How important was it to have his blessing, your parents' blessing, and support with you choosing Tennessee?
It's very important because I know it's a lot of kids that really doesn't have fathers and mothers and people to be there with them and have that support to help them. And my dad, he really loved Tennessee as well as much as I did. He felt like it was the right place. We really sat down and talked a lot about it. And so today we just found out and had the feeling just to pull the trigger on Tennessee and just commit.
Yeah, how much has your dad and how much of your family, how much have they helped you get to this point, do you think?
My dad helped me a lot. And it's not only my dad, it's God. God really is the reason why I'm here. I was really down. Well, a couple months ago, I had no offers. I was down. I didn't think I would make it. I was really just going to really focus on track. I didn't think I was good enough football. But then everything started blowing up. So then Tennessee came, I met Coach Graham. and then God made a way for me just to be at this point. So,
yeah, is there something that happened? What do you think helped you get more attention, especially from a school like Tennessee?
Track. The reason why I really blew up because of my track times, and then my dad had met somebody. He really put me out there, and I got a lot of exposure from colleges. And so the colleges started seeing my track times, and they said, oh, he's fast and he's big. They start looking at my film, so they like my film. Tennessee loved my film. I remember the day I talked to Coach Brand, he said, love my film. He loved the way I'm fast. He said he ready for me to come on campus, and he gave me an offer to Tennessee.
Yeah, what did that mean to you, considering, you know, kind of where you were mentally to then get that opportunity? What did that mean to you?
It made me feel good, because for one, it's an SEC offer, and everybody knows how big SEC is. So that made me feel good that I was able to just be put on the scene and have an SEC offer, and it just made me feel good and maybe get a lot of hopes in myself and know that who I am and how much potential I really have. I've been so overlooked all my life, and now it's just my time.
Yeah, how much motivation does that provide you, feeling overlooked but still believing in what you're able to do?
It gives me a lot of motivation. Now it gives me motivation to, like, you know, press harder and be great. And so when I get to Tennessee, no matter how much adversity I face, I'm just going to remember where I came from, remember the times that I felt down, and know that it's going to be a way that I could be great.
That's awesome. I think that's a great story as well. So congratulations on the offer and the commitment to Tennessee. Jalen, I appreciate you taking some time to talk to me and look forward to seeing you in Knoxville sometime in the future. Thanks again.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
Running back Jalen Wright, he committed to Tennessee yesterday. Enjoyed talking to him about that, and you can tell it means a lot to him, the opportunity, and he sounds, hearing him talk there, very motivated.
So sincere, too. I mean, the fact that he was questioning even having a collegiate football career and just kind of facing a reality like maybe this isn't going to work out and maybe I should just focus on track. I mean, what a great story and a lot of great insight from one of Tennessee's newest commitments. And with breakneck speed like he has, if this coaching staff can develop his football skills and take him to another level, we haven't seen speed like that in a while. So I'm very intrigued by this prospect for sure.
Jalen Wright, a 2021 running back prospect from Durham, North Carolina, committing to Tennessee yesterday. Again, earlier in the hour, Walker Merrill, a wide receiver from Brentwood, committed to Tennessee as well. We are going to come back on Sports 180. We invite you to join us at 656-9900. There is another bracket that is out that is getting a lot of attention. It's a bracket that's almost impossible to put together and then break down. But we will attempt to do that when we come back, as we are with you until 3 o'clock here on Sports 180 on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Thanks for being with us on Sports 180. I don't know if you've noticed this, but a number of different media outlets, people in general, have been putting brackets together. I don't know if you've seen this.
You know, I've seen
including
these
on the starting lineup.
Yeah, I've seen all these weird things being compared to each other. Grant Ramey had an interesting tweet about a Little Debbie bracket that's going out, and I totally I agree with his take. It's like UMBC over Virginia. Donut Sticks beating out the Nutty Buddy 10 times out of 10 for me. So kudos to Grant Ramey. He nailed that bracket.
I love the Nutty Buddy. it's a separate conversation. I don't even want to give it the time of day, honestly. I think Kaner's behind this. But the seating for the sitcom bracket that they did this morning is just an abomination. And I don't think any of it, as far as I'm aware, is on Will or Tyler. But it's
poor Kaner.
Yeah, I mean, it's an abomination. That's what it is. So I don't think I need to explain that word or what it is. But the Ringer put together a bracket of the best TV characters of the century. So we're looking at the last 20 years of television, and they have different regions that are put together. So you have scene stealers, you have bosses. The top seed in the scene stealer is Tyrion Lannister, Game of Thrones.
Yes.
You have Tony Soprano, who is the one seed in the bosses category. Makes sense. The Millennials is Villanelle, who I'm honestly unfamiliar with because of Killing Eve. I haven't watched. And then in the wild card section, you have Michael Scott as a one seed. Feels like a pretty good pick. When you looked at the bracket, it's television. I'll go ahead and say that putting this together has to be close to impossible because how do you compare? You know, it's fictional people and all that stuff and different tastes, different styles, drama, comedy, all that. So you do the best that you can, and it's just a terrific idea and overall well put together. We'll all find differing opinions, though. What stands out to you that you either like or strongly disagree with when you see it put together?
Well, it makes sense whenever you discover that it is broken down into categories. And I actually really like the categories because I was very taken aback. Like, how is Don Draper a 5 seed and Peggy Olson is a 3 seed, having been a Mad Men connoisseur? I love Mad Men. But then when it's broken down into categories, you get it and you kind of understand it. The Bosses side of the bracket is just... I don't even know. It's like going up against Daenerys' dragons. Like, how do you even beat some of those people? It is a who's who of television superstars. I think
it's the toughest bracket because those are the lead characters in incredibly successful television.
Yeah, it's some of the best television that we've ever watched. I love the Millennials category, though, and I'll give you my regional final for the Millennials. It would have to be Arya Stark versus Jesse Pinkman. That is my prediction for how this ringer category is going to fill out. I have a feeling that Arya Stark is going to come out of the top of that, and Pinkman is going to come out of the bottom, and they're just going to have to duke it out. And that's a hard one. And I liked, for the couple of seasons that I did watch, I liked Pinkman. He was always screwing things up. I mean, he was, you know, you always had to watch him. But Arya Stark is one of my favorite literary characters and television characters. And so she would definitely be the winner. But I like that bracket. I feel like that's the easiest one that I can pick who the regional final will be.
Your top seeds, they all advance in the wild card region. Michael Scott's the 1 seed. Omar Little from The Wire is a 2 seed. Larry David is a 3 seed. You want to talk about a wild card. Then you have Rust Cole as a 4 seed. Saul Goodman as a 5 seed. Kenny Powers as a 6 seed. They all advance. You had Pete Campbell from Mad Men advance as a 10 seed in an upset over Peggy Bloomquist. Omar Little will dust Pete Campbell, I would imagine. So
yeah,
that one's
going
to be really tough as well. I think I'm gonna see Omar Little coming out of this. I would go with him or Larry David. I think the winner there in the Sweet 16 matchup is who I would pick. As much as I love Michael Scott, and actually his departure from The Office would be a reason to say that you think Michael might be able to go all the way because of the importance of his character. But I'll go Omar Little or Larry David as my pick out of the wild card round.
I think the underappreciated, and it's because it was 1 season, but oh my gosh, just mind-blowing television. Rust Cole, we're just too far away from it, and it was such a short sample size. One of the most... the biggest enigmas, is that how you would call what you would call him on television? I mean, that performance by Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson in True Detective, that was just amazing television. So Rust Cole, he would be the underrated superstar there. I guess you can't call him too underrated, though. He is the 4 seed, but I have a feeling Michael Scott will get all the way to the end. And then you think that'll be a 1-2 with Omar Little coming out of the regional final?
I think it'll be a 2-1. I think it'll probably be a 2-1 at the top with Scott in the Elite Eight. That's probably how it'll play out. And then the biggest snub, I don't know if you have a biggest snub for the bracket, but mine would come from a show that has been incredibly successful. It hit a bit of a rough patch there in season 3, but Homeland. Homeland should have been represented here, if you ask me. The first season and the first couple, I would say, and it actually, I thought, rebounded really nicely, but I think Homeland should be represented somehow. I'm very biased towards Saul Berenson. I have a t-shirt, Fear the Beard t-shirt, which I love, but Homeland should have been represented by either Saul or Carrie, I believe.
Yeah, I think you're right. I do think that is definitely a snub. You could have put Saul in the Bosses category, especially when you look down and see some like Elizabeth Jennings, Vic Mackey, Boyd Crowder, some very lesser known characters. I think Saul Berenson could have definitely fit into that category. I'll tell you what the craziest matchup is. This would be like getting Duke, North Carolina, when both are like really good, in the second round of the NCAA tournament, which would just not be fair. Tyrion Lannister, Leon Black. Not fair. Why do you have to choose between those two this early on? Those are two of my favorites. I mean, I just listened to an awesome interview podcast with Leon Black. I forget what his real name is in real life, but
J.B. Smoove.
Yeah, J.B. Smoove. Just what a career. Started out writing for SNL and then did stand-up on a circuit, and then just randomly went to a funeral in L.A., and went and met his new agent. And his agent said, hey, Curb Your Enthusiasm is doing a casting today. Do you want me to see if I can get you in? And he was like, yes. And he was ready for it. I mean, just you talk about right place, right time, incredible, and has run with it. He was only supposed to be on the show for one season, and he was on for five. I mean, that's domination. And then Tyrion Lannister, obviously one of the best characters ever written, ever performed by Peter Dinklage.
That's right. The bracket from The Ringer, the best TV characters of the century. Very difficult to do. I would say well done overall. I'll give you my hottest take on here as well, considering, you know, me and my love for the show Friday Night Lights. I would have gone with the upset in the first round, 10 seed Jonah Ryan of Veep over Tim Riggins. I love Tim Riggins. I would have gone with Jonah Ryan. I think he is one of the more underrated characters in TV history.
Yeah, that is a show I really am going to have to find a way to watch, because I have just heard so many glowing things about Veep, and the fact that Julia Louis-Dreyfus is just absolutely hilarious and that she's super good. I have not watched Veep, so I don't have a good handle on all the characters.
I think, tell me if I'm wrong, I think Julia Louis-Dreyfus is the female comedy goat for television.
Ooh, now that's hard. I mean, what about Tina Fey? Tina Fey she's dominated too.
Well, yeah, she's really good, no doubt. But you have Elaine Bennis, you have Selena Meyer, The New Adventures of Old Christine did well as a television show. So she's been a lead twice. And I don't know that is there technically a lead, I guess, Jerry, but she was a part of the Big Four with Seinfeld, which is an all-time great show, and Veep is an all-time great comedy of this century. So to me, I would have said it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus versus Lucille Ball for that title.
Oh, yeah. Golly. I mean, that is really hard. I like this conversation that you just plunged me into. Lucille Ball would have to be the George Washington on the Mount Rushmore, right? Because, I mean, she was the first woman to break through in such a male-dominated world and was just fantastic. I mean, you know, her brand of comedy was awesome. So maybe she would have to be one, Julia two, and Tina Fey three. Would you put Tina Fey on the Mount Rushmore?
I would go Mary Tyler Moore.
Oh, another
three.
Throwback.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I'm gonna
inadvertently leave somebody out, and that's what happens in these conversations. And maybe it's new money, but you have the multiple shows and the characters and the impact. I'm gonna go Julia Louis-Dreyfus as the GOAT, and there's a bias there, no doubt about it. But that's where I'm going.
Yeah, well, and you can't go wrong if you pick anything from Seinfeld and you say it's the greatest of all time. 9 times out of 10, I'm gonna go with you, Josh. you can lead me right down that road.
Yeah, and essentially playing herself, but she played a role in Curb as well. So, I mean, you know where I stand. If Seinfeld and Curb are a part of it, I'm on it. And then Veep as well. So a few takes there, maybe some hot takes as well with the best TV characters of the century. We're also wildly spoiled with the TV that is available and now the ability to go back. If you want to go back and watch The Wire or The Sopranos or The West Wing, whatever, or even shows before that. But those are so easily accessible just off the top of the head, off the top of my head. But everything that continues to come out, and you get, like, Fleabag was just 2 quick seasons, and you can watch it in 2 days if you want to, very literally. Documentaries, we're at a very spoiled age in terms of television availability.
Yeah, it's the instant gratification era, and that has its negatives because it also makes you want everything right when you want it, and that doesn't always apply, especially in the sports world, which is the realm that we operate in for the most part. But yeah, if you want to watch some of the best television, and shout out to Mad Men. If you haven't watched Mad Men, I think it's an incredible show, and I think it's just AMC a couple of years ago just had one of the most dominant lineups, and you couldn't point to any other time in history where you could have said that, where they would have had multiple amazing shows on the air at the same time.
Keelan tweets to us at Sports180, Lucille Ball on lines 1 through 5. And Keelan, I'm not going to argue with you. If we did Mount Rushmore, if we had it in that conversation, I would put her up on the Mount Rushmore first. We will come back with another hour of Sports 180 to go. We'll get back to the NCAA conversation. Jay Billis of ESPN on the ruling or the vote, how that went yesterday. More on 5 years of Rick Barnes as Tennessee's basketball coach. Jay Busby of Yahoo Sports at 2:30. A busy final hour of Sports 180 is coming up next here on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.